well, that ends well. For every Canadian hockey fan out there, including our very own Sammy McKee.
He did pass the breathalyzer before the show. He is under the legal limit.
Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Justin Bourne, yours truly, Nick Kyprios, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick with you for the next 2 hours. As Sammy looks like he just gave birth, he is one happy guy. On the back of Connor McDavid, who became the second player to score an overtime goal to clinch an international NHL tournament. It was Daryl Sittler nearly 50 years ago.
Yeah, and that doesn't include the Olympics, of course, but that's, yeah.
His goal at 8 minutes and 18 seconds of overtime off the back of a Mitch Marner pass secures Team Canada's victory and the first ever Donald J. Trump Cup.
I didn't know they had named it that.
Buddy.
That's a surprise.
20 years from now, yeah. I will look at that trophy and it will be the Trump Cup.
No kidding, eh?
That's amazing. How did you do
his
that?
His finger was on the scale enough.
But it's all over this tournament.
Yeah.
So we took the Trump Cup back to back to Canada.
Yes.
We took it from their province and brought it home.
out of their hands.
Yeah, I mean, there was a political undertone to the whole thing. There's no doubt about it, and that gave it a lot of the weight that the tournament had. So, yeah.
I think when we left the show about 24 hours ago, we had said 3-2. Canada win.
We did say that. We agreed on a score, which almost never happens. So.
Sammy, you okay? Tell us about your night, Sammy.
I have one overwhelming emotion from today, from the moment that puck entered the net, from everything. And the only emotion that really resides in my brain, outside of euphoria, happiness, feeling like I want to rub it in their face, is just extreme relief.
Yeah.
And when Marner, that digs that puck off the half boards, fires it right out in front, right onto the stick of Connor McDavid. I didn't even really need to watch it go in. You knew it was entering the net. And I just, here we got the clip of it here if you're watching on Sportsnet. I got to tell you, there's no feeling in sports like your favorite hockey team scoring an overtime winner goal. There's no sports moment that tops it. There's nothing as final. There's nothing as euphoric. And to have it be Connor McDavid in this situation with everything that surrounded this that we've talked about all week, to have it enter the net like that, I honestly can't believe we got that moment last night. Like, I truly am almost brought to tears watching that and thinking about that. And you can talk about made up. You can talk about everything. Mm-hmm. But those guys out there played one of the highest level games you could ever imagine. And
Hellebuck's not within a foot of catching that, by the way.
And we just beat him.
Great shot.
We just beat him like we always do. Every time it gets to that situation, we always win.
Okay, let's follow it up with
a
Kipper's Clipper on Canada's big win. Let's start with head coach John Cooper on how he feels about Canada needing this one.
Can you sense what this win might have meant back home for a number of reasons? I mean, Canadian junior team losing back-to-back years in the quarterfinals and, you know, the country's national pride a bit dented from that as far as its sport. Political tensions really boiling over the last few days, just everything combined. And I know you try not to have that go into your room before a game like this, but now that it's over, can you sense the magnitude of this victory?
Well, I just hope Canada's proud, because every player in that room is proud to be a Canadian. And yeah, did we need a win? Not only like our team, but Canada needed a win. And the players bared that on their shoulders, and they took it seriously. And this one was different. This wasn't a win for themselves. This was a win for 40 plus million people, and the guys knew it, and they delivered.
Never cried on TV before, boys, but holy.
I mean,
Jesus.
It was very emotional for everybody last night. It was personal. This thing turned real fast into very personal. Like they struck a nerve, you know, and they still do. I'm listening to the press secretary from the White House saying that they were looking forward to beating what we will soon see our 51st state. Yeah. It's like
Ted Cruz said, we'll play you for Canada yesterday.
It was more than just a hockey game or an exhibition game.
And there's something belittling about the whole thing, right? Like, I know the Canadians get, accused of having an inferiority complex, but how can you not with that sort of, like, you know, off-the-cuff dismissal from the highest levels of government of our neighbor, you know, that we, by the way, went to war with and fought and died beside and all that. So Canadians beyond the young generation were hurt by a lot of that, I think. And so, it did take on higher level, higher stakes. And it's just a game, of course, this one wasn't, and our team played in a way that people, I think, are proud of, right? Disciplined, hard hockey. They take a penalty that game?
There's only one penalty called, which I loved.
Yeah. America did not, U.S. did not get a power play.
Right. No, they did not. So, you see the tweet or whatever it was on True Social from Donald J. And, I mean, maybe I'll borrow JT Miller's subscription to that account to try to see if I can see something from him. But I didn't see anything today. You know, it's just so quintessentially American that, like, you know, I see everybody down there being like, oh, it didn't even matter anyway the second the puck enters the net. Yeah. Meanwhile, all they did for a full week was talk junk. They're better. We're better. Yeah. And it just, you know what? You're not. Yeah. And I'm sorry. Like, you don't have Connor McDavid. That's what makes Canada Canada, is that they can have guys that, you know, they're getting closer. They're coming along. But right now, they don't have guys like Connor McDavid. They don't have guys like Nathan MacKinnon. They don't have guys like Cale Makar. When it comes down to it, it's close, it's tight, but the best guys from Canada always rise above. And they did again last night. It's a torch pass moment, 87, 97, golden goals.
15 years later, 15 years in a week, I think it was, between their goals.
It's just as sweet as it gets for Canadian fans. Like, I can't imagine it be any sweeter than it is today. Truly.
Where do you want to start just in terms of the overall feel or look of the game for you? You want to go into the overtime goal? JB, I'll let you go first.
Well, I think one of the things I'll take away from that game was it was really hard for anyone to look good offensively. The D was so tight. And I think John Cooper deserves a lot of credit for seeing that Mitch Marner was one of the guys that was making little plays and, you know, elevates him accordingly, gets him on McDavid's line. They're able to have success.
Yeah.
Cooper deserves credit for sticking with Binnington the whole way through.
Yeah.
McDavid, or what he did with Marner. Like, I just thought everything he touched turned to gold. Yeah. Marner with two big plays for Canada.
It can't be easy to look down that bench and see all these respective superstars from their own teams and then start figuring out in a hurry who's going out on the ice next.
DeMarc Snow doesn't have it tonight or can't skate with this tonight.
Doesn't go. And even Marchand kind of struggled a little bit with the speed game now. Mitch, you mentioned Marner. Did he have three shifts in the second period? And I guess the story goes that I think Rick Tocchet kind of got into Cooper's ear a little bit. You got to get this guy out more in the third period.
Marner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was impactful right from the start. Like, that's as impressed with Mitch as I've been in a hockey game. In terms of decisiveness, reads, he was great defensively. The slip pass to Bennett, obviously, which is, if you're talking about the two assists, the way more beautiful one is the Bennett one, where he senses that he's cutting in front of him, drops it through to him. Bennett shoots it upstairs. Impactful.
Yeah. Let's go to John Cooper on lifting Mitch Marner in the third period.
You know, Stoney was, I thought that line had great chemistry, but you know, ultimately in the end, as that game went on, Mitch had legs tonight, and that kid can make plays. And as we saw tonight, he just needed one chance to make a play, and he did. And it comes down to a gut feel and how the guys are going. And I felt that those three guys could do it, and they did.
Some of the, you know, the best players got to be your best player sort of thing. Nathan MacKinnon was an absolute force. Cale Makar.
This game's so funny, too, because Mitch Marner, and I watched him, and I've watched him very closely over the years, and there's just such a fine line between success or what's interpreted as a non-successful game. Mm-hmm. And the narrative could have easily gone the other way. What was the difference between Mitch last night or Mitch in any game sevens is sometimes that you make a great pass, and the difference was Sam Bennett scored. Mm-hmm. He didn't shoot it into the goalie's chest. He passes it to McDavid. McDavid buries it. He's the winner. Those guys miss the net, and they lose in overtime, and, you know, he doesn't rise to a big occasion. Connor McDavid did not have a great game, mm-hmm. right?
It was like Mitch in game one against Sweden. I didn't think Mitch was good against Sweden, but he had a big moment.
He couldn't. He was fumbling the puck everywhere last
everywhere.
Night. Everywhere. Looked tight as hell.
Did not look. Scores the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
Player of the game, I don't know what they gave him, MVP,
and
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
But it's just such a fine line, eh, for these guys
it
on
is.
What's deemed success and what's not.
Take Austin Matthews. Matthews was 10 out of 10 for me last night. I mean, he was all over the puck. In overtime,
yeah.
He felt like the only guy who could score for the U.S. He was all but over the net.
I expected Austin Matthews to look like that the whole tournament.
Yeah.
He showed up too late.
Yeah, well, whatever. Well,
they were in the final.
What's that?
They were in the final, and he was great. In the final, in the biggest game. But the thing is...
My point, hold on. Let me make one point on me. He was fantastic and picks Mitch's pocket. They're in the, you know, gets robbed by Binnington. He's all over it. It doesn't quite go under an arm or whatever.
Yet he scores the overtime and Binnington doesn't save it. He's like
the
greatest
play.
Greatest big-time player that ever lived now.
And so analytics tries to find the guys who we don't pick out because they don't have the big moments but still play well. But if you play well often enough, you will have the big moments.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a Leaf fan watching that game, both guys with two assists, both guys all over the play, where there it was tough to be all over the play, I think an encouraging day at least for them as we do our Leafs hour here.
I think that going into this game, any Leaf fan would tell you that this hasn't been a great tournament for the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
When they've had three of the biggest stars in this tournament, and, you know, they talk about Willie going out early, Matthews and Marner both not being particularly great outside of the 3-on-3 winner for Marner. But in the biggest game of the tournament, the two Leafs were two of the most impactful players on the ice. I thought Marner, outside of Bennett, outside of MacKinnon for me, was the best forward on Canada. And Matthews for me was probably the best forward on America.
Like, only because Brady Tkachuk's a beast.
Yeah, you're right. Tkachuk was the best.
Yeah.
Tkachuk, then Matthews. So I just... Yeah.
And
it's amazing how quickly it flips, like you said.
And they don't, McDavid doesn't even get that opportunity. Mitch doesn't get that opportunity without Binnington.
Yeah.
My God. So I think that's what's amazing about just the sport of hockey in general, where when it's at this high of stakes, the line in the difference between, like, you know, remember when Paul Maurice last year talked about when he got asked about what if you guys blew the 3-0 lead?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't want to live in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to live in the world where I came in today and Jordan Binnington
didn't stretch
across and catch that shot from my least favorite player on planet Earth, Brady Tkachuk. If he doesn't catch that puck, I don't want to think about what we're doing today.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a horrible thing to even go through.
Binnington highlights for you.
But if you think about it, like, that's the fine line. Like, think about the whole world.
Yeah. It's not really fair, though, right?
Well,
like,
that's
it's just the way it is.
It's not fair.
But it's just the way it is.
Life's not fair.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's sports.
But, you know,
it's
funny because we have Scott Niedermeyer on yesterday, and he's talking about how he's on for the golden goal, first guy in for the hug, and he says, roll it back.
Cough it up.
I cough it up. Luongo bails me out. One squeaks through Luongo there. Niedermeyer's the goat. You know, how we used to use the term goat.
Goat,
you
know? Yeah, not the kid goat.
Yeah. It's a totally different world. And that's, I think, for a lot of Americans that watch that game, there's maybe a misunderstanding about what hockey is. Because in, let's say, football, if you're a wide receiver, you almost can't be the guy who costs the team the game. Yeah, you can drop the ball or whatever. But there's no way, like, in hockey, you can go down that way and almost be the hero, and 9 seconds later be a failure. You know, like, it can turn on you like that. every shift, which is why nerves are, they play into hockey like almost no other sport. You have to be able to have that composure. The Canadians have won Stanley Cups and had the composure in the end. They have the guys. So I said to you before the game, good for these guys to be in a big pressure moment. You kind of like laughed it off. They've had lots of big pressure moments. Not bad, though.
No, no, 100%.
To be beside
it's nice.
McKinnon and David.
It is, and it should make them feel different coming in,
Here's for sure.
But some of these guys, again, they're still kind of the same players they were before. They just get a lucky bounce or
different perception.
Someone puts the puck in, and now it's a different perception.
McDavid has not had team success yet, and then he shoots one in, and now they have. You know, it's like, you know, but if Matthews finishes it two shifts earlier, he's still a failure.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have it off. For sure, we don't think about it all right.
But there's a big difference between giving it to a Connor McDavid to end the game or maybe Pontus Holmberg to end the game. And then Mitch is a failure because Pontus couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Well, I don't mean, I don't know how many shifts Pontus and Mitch have played together.
You get my point, though.
Yes, I do.
All right, let's go to John Cooper on the outstanding goaltending last night from Jordan Binnington.
Clip 7.
I mean, if we can be perfectly honest, probably the most scrutinized position going into this tournament was goaltending. And for me, it was you've got your guy and you're rolling with your guy. And I never doubted one ounce about ever pulling him, ever taking him out of a game, ever, losing confidence in him because... his gamemanship, his ability to rise at the big moment. And then even tonight, were there stressful moments for both goalies during the game? For sure there were. But it wasn't somewhere where if this game was in one in regulation, we were going to sit there and say, you know, Jordan Binnington saved the game. But when it came to overtime and we needed him most, you know, make the saves you're supposed to, and then make a few that you're not. And he saved his best for last. And that's what winners do. And there wasn't a chance I was not going to back the winner.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm feeling it again.
Just give him the spot.
Give me
next February in the Olympics.
He's the goalie.
What choice do you have?
Do you have to kind of watch him?
I guess Logan Thompson is going to be, if he's an 880 and Logan Thompson's a 920.
What was he this year, 892? He's not that far off.
No, I know.
No.
And he's barely the guy.
There's no zero question that starting goalie next year, game one in Milan.
Don't you want to watch a little bit of the beginning of next season?
He lets in muffins all the time. What's his saber? He's not had a good year. Yeah. But this is a management group. And we poo-pooed them, myself included, for not including Logan Thompson and others that have been great this year. But they know him better than anybody else. And they trust him more than anybody else in these big games. And I saw Peter Baugh from, I don't know who he covers, but he works for The Athletic, tweeted out, he's a flawed goalie, but his career numbers in winner-take-all games. 29 of 30 saves in 2019 second-round Game 7 against Dallas. 32 of 33 in the Stanley Cup Final Game 7 against Boston. 31 of 33 in the Four Nations Face-Off Final. You can't.
Dustin is a rational confidence guy.
But you can't quantify clutch. Yeah. You just can't. And he is. Those three results alone show you that he is. So, it's amazing.
And you got to give a ton of credit to that blue line, which probably we'd look at over the course of 20 or 30 years of Team Canada blue lines and say this one could arguably be amongst the weakest outside the superstar of Cale Makar.
But also, we're without Petrangelo, Theodore, Morrissey.
Those were big hits.
You know, three of our 6D weren't in that game. And I know some of the Americans were missing guys too, but we weren't missing nobody.
Big hits.
Yeah. I will say, nobody on earth, aside from people who watch the Dallas Stars, knowing about Thomas Harley being that good. I know a lot of people are going, we knew he was that good. Okay, that's fine. Most people weren't aware that Thomas Harley has that
level. Still a young kid, though, right?
Yeah.
So that's...
How much did he end up playing last night? It had to be over 20. He was out there a ton. He was out there at the end of the game.
He's 18, 19 minutes, somewhere around there. He played just fifth most. But he...
Really?
Yeah. He was...
He's out there more than that.
He has a level that, I'm confident he'll be in Italy. This guy, we know what he's done offensively in the league. I didn't know that he was physical, that he was long, that he skates like that. So an absolute bright spot. I own not knowing.
Harley played 21:56 last night.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Was it still, it was fifth least? Or
I'm not ranking them right now, but yeah. I just looked at that. I thought, he played two games in the tournament, and they were the two biggest pressure cooker events. Like,
and he seemed unfazed.
Totally unfazed.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear from Jordan Binnington on what Cooper may have said to him. Clip one.
I think just saying he was proud and, just enjoying the moment together. There's a lot of noise in this game, and I think that was a moment that we got to share with each other, and I'm just grateful he shared that confidence in me to get the job done, and it's been incredible just seeing him on a day-to-day, and just how he can work a room and just lead a meeting and inspire the guys. It's been awesome.
That Cooper's got the secret sauce, man.
I think how calm he is, generally calm, like that sort of, he's not like this, helps in the big moments. You know, he's not the best at rousing guys or something, but bringing everyone down when everyone's already fired up, I think he does that really well. By the way, Thomas Harley played the third most. Makar, Taves, Harley.
Wow.
Yeah, my bad. I was thinking of Sanheim.
Felt like he played a lot. But no, you got to give the guy a ton of credit. And watch that clip before we came on the show today of him screaming to be selfish and then yells McDavid Marner.
With Marner, yeah.
The second they go out there, I guess it probably wouldn't have been a great place to pass from if you're David. You probably should get selfish there, but it's just.
But
what
you
he
can
says.
See a guy handling the puck there. You're in alone. You got time. There's no reason to get it off that quick. And
okay. Speaking of, let's go to Connor McDavid on Canada's game-winning goal.
Yeah, just couldn't believe it, really. just excited for our group. Honestly, everybody was so dug in. Months and months and months ago with management going out and picking the team and the coaching staff coming together, and then obviously the players doing what we do. It's been a big production, and it's just sweet to have it all come together.
You want to follow it up with Marner's pass from Connor?
Sure. Let's do it.
Mitchie makes a great play. That's a great, great play. It's kind of the system, that box in one system. The centerman and the D-man can kind of go. So if they get crossed up, that spot can be open. And Mitchie did a great job of finding it.
Yeah. When you watch it on a replay, and Mitch finds the one area of the ice where he knows he'll get some time to make a play, and the puck obviously goes around the boards.
Oh, nice. We got to hear you.
Right?
Oh, this will be the 15 millionth time I've watched this today.
And I don't know how many guys would have been smart enough to buy himself that much time in that particular area. The tendency is to go to the net or go into the traffic. And the patience that Mitch showed was the reason why he can do things sometimes that other players can't. I thought it was just a brilliant play and a brilliant pass. How did you see the game-winning goal? Because there's a lot of breakdowns on Austin Matthews on that particular play. What did you see?
I think it all starts with Fox. Fox doesn't, cover the right guy off the faceoff, so they're kind of chasing. And then when he gets behind the net, Matthews wouldn't see him through Hellebuck. So in that system, the zone they're kind of playing,
yeah,
someone's got to go to Mitch. So in that point, he's, okay.
But Fox was ahead of Matthews.
But he can't see Fox because he's behind Hellebuck. So he's a step ahead. He's like, he took a step or two, and at that point, Fox should come back in front of the net. Yeah. I think it looks worse than it is for Matthews, but it's a great play by Marner to take advantage of a step, Fox, by the way, that whole weekend.
Yeah, Fox did not play well, but he's not blessed with speed.
Fox.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's not the biggest guy, and that played a factor in this. And, we talked earlier about Stone, even Reinhardt. Very smart player, much like Mark Stone. Very smart.
Great
but
defensive
you
conscience.
Need to, in this game, you need to be smart and fast and quick.
Yeah,
physical.
And that's the only way you kind of stood out.
You know what's funny is I feel like there was a level here of speed where there isn't in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like when you're playing a playoff roster, there's some slower guys, whatever. Reinhardt, Stone, Ryan O'Reilly. these guys can still maintain their effectiveness by finding these pockets when everyone skates like at that level. I don't know that you can play like I wrote stock up, stock down for a lot of these guys at the Olympics. Like I can't. Brad Marchand, love his career. He's been wonderful. I don't think he skates well enough to skate at that level.
And it's
that level's too high.
It's a totally different game, IIHF too. It's you know it just nullifies
certain guys. To your point, Kip, like Reinhardt.
Yeah,
not quite as effective. You know, still really good and smart and physical and great.
Yes,
but can't quite get to where he needs to get.
Kind of missing something.
Yeah.
If we're rolling that goal again, because maybe I just want to watch it again. But the play that Marner makes that's more impressive to me, even than the pass, is that's a hard rim on the dasher from Cale Makar, and to be able to dig that off the like that's the hardest play in hockey. You guys both play hockey at a very high level. You know how hard it is to dig a puck off the dasher like that. Mm-hmm. And for him to do that and then have a guy coming
almost
right at you.
In one motion.
One motion, bing, right on the tape, and he shoots it in. That's just, it's as good as it gets. Like, that's so hard to do. It's so hard to do.
That is a well-placed shot, too. This is my favorite angle of the shot, is gloves a foot beneath the puck.
Never even close.
No.
Never even close.
All right, let's, we got to hear from Sidney Crosby on perhaps thinking about passing the torch.
This is an interesting clip. Let's play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it really is, like you said, a new generation and a new group of guys. I think, you know, with some of those prior teams, there was a lot of guys that had played together in the past, you know, with some new guys sprinkled in there. This was a totally new group for the most part. And just to see guys come together over the last, you know, 10 days and see the excitement, see how much it meant to everybody. It was a lot of fun. And obviously, the U.S. was, a pretty good team. They, they pushed, and obviously Binner made some great saves there. But give a lot of credit to them. They were a tough team, just like the other ones. But they really played well.
Hey, how about how no one really knew what to do with like the trophy? Everyone's like, "Are we going to do a Stanley Cup? All of us go out with this thing?" Like,
see, I didn't find it that awkward.
No,
no.
I kind of feel like they shouldn't have done that. Like, not that it mattered. I just did find it a bit awkward. Like, guys were like,
"Well, look at that's real emotion out of Crosby there. Real emotion. He started it, and
set the tone.
These guys are like, what
the only one I kind of questioned a little. Watch Connor.
Yeah,
barely. Hey, you know why?
Because he doesn't want it.
Because it's not the cup.
Yes.
The one he's gonna lift over his head.
Yeah.
Is the Stanley Cup.
That's interesting. I didn't catch that.
Oh, I caught that right away. Right away. So I think the first nine guys had cups.
Yeah.
So it's like, no problem. This is whipped cream and a cherry on top of my sundae.
Yeah, it's like, this doesn't
Connor's
right.
Missing
this
the
is
ice
not
the cream.
One I wanted. Yeah,
he's got just chocolate syrup.
Love that I scored.
Yeah.
Love that we stuck it to the U.S.
But I can't quite.
But it's not the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And that's what I got out of his.
That's so interesting.
Lift. And that's how I felt watching them all do it. Like, even guys who had won the cup, it was like, I can't be quite as thrilled as I've been in the past. It's good, but
at the end of the day, it's just, I told you, it's just a trophy. It's just a made up trophy. And
for sure.
That's it. The win is the win.
Exactly.
We still hold the title of
who cares about that trophy?
Best country
in the
world for hockey. Yeah. This is just
Mickey
like
invitation.
But it was, I found it okay. And I think it was overall very well done.
It sounds like viewership through the roof. I think sports
almost had 7 million people.
Yeah.
Wow.
6.9 million people watched.
And
that's the number
I
got.
At the time of the goal, it had like peaked at 7.3 or something.
Yeah.
So it was pretty remarkable number for Canadians when you consider we got 40 million in the country or whatever the number is.
Can we just talk big picture about this? Gary Bettman's, I'm not allowed to say this on the radio, but you can say anything once. His wettest dream of all time. This is above that.
Yeah.
Like, he could not. This was the most perfect storm. You get out of this tournament now, and sure, McAvoy's hurt. Kachuk's hurt. There's some injuries.
The Leaf angle again, interdivision stars got hurt.
There's definitely some stuff coming out of this that aren't great, but you come out of it with Matthews healthy, McDavid healthy, like the biggest guys, and you get everything you had, the ratings, the eyeballs. Gary could never have imagined it being this good in a million years, right?
Lightning in a bottle.
All right, you know what? Let's go to break, and then we'll pick up off that conversation, and we got Brad Marchand. Now we're going to talk.
Oh my God! Oh,
do we want to hear Brady Kachuk?
We are talking Kachuk. Okay.
New American stars. Those guys are now, if they weren't already, but they're names now.
Kachuk.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Okay, plenty. Do not go away. We're only warming up here as Canada holds the title, best hockey country in the world. Mm. Back after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We're going to get into that big picture conversation, Sammy. Mm. But let's just kind of wrap up on the U.S. side here, including Brad Marchand, who... really set them up yesterday. Oh, really.
You hated that clip. You were yelling at me for saying.
I was fine with it. I just didn't want to listen to a guy play the karma card, which is a really old kind of
one of the
Canadian
oldest tricks in the book.
100%. Just build them up just to see them fall. That's exactly what happened, right?
For sure.
The U.S. got what they deserved last night. They really did. I'm sorry, but...
Well said.
They got what they deserved last night, a big L.
Okay? My favorite thing you've ever said on the show.
And while we can sit there and praise Brady Kachuk and Matthew a little bit, and if I started a team tomorrow, I'd want them both on it.
Oh, yeah.
But Matthew Kachuk, selfish.
What?
Selfish.
Selfish because? Trying his heart to be out there for the Americans, no?
That's the problem. Okay? Couldn't play.
Yeah.
We knew he couldn't play. He was hurt. He was injured.
Meanwhile, Kyle Connor,
a healthy
sixth best
Kyle Connor sat in the stands while you refused to acknowledge that you couldn't play.
Wow. You're right. You're so right.
Keep her going, baby. Keep her going.
No good. I'm sorry. Yeah. But you're not that big of a star that you at no percent is better on the bench than Kyle Connor.
Connor's sixth in points, sixth in goals in the NHL this year. And I don't know if he had a little tweak or something, but he's by all reports, he's healthy.
Can't have that happen, guys.
Yeah.
Can't. You can't
that
win.
That hurt them last night.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. And you should have acknowledged it. You should have said, I'll go out and warm up, but just know, he knew. He knew he couldn't play. He didn't want to give up his spot.
Mm. Tough night for Jets fans in general. Connor gets scratched. Morrissey's sick. Hellebuck doesn't get the win to get him over the hump.
I mean, if you're a Jets fan and you watch that first goal go in, you're like, I watched that happen 15 times just in the first round.
A floater through traffic.
Puts his gloves like, I couldn't have saved that
from
one.
From Colorado.
Yeah, from McDavid. Like, I'm
kidding.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear from Brady Kachuk on his thoughts.
Let's please. Both the clips. Let's play them.
Honestly, I was convinced we were going to win.
Oh, I bet you were.
Yeah, and just everything happens for a reason. There's a reason why we didn't win tonight. Maybe in a year's time, it goes the other way.
Like, that overtime was crazy. You had some chances. How would you describe that?
I mean, it could have gone either way. Just sucks it didn't go ours.
Oh. Sammy's having way too much fun. Sam, do you think they got a lot of respect in the handshake line?
Oh. Don't bring me back to that. I think he was incredible last night.
Yeah.
Kachuk.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like I said.
He was impactful.
I love them both. I do love them both. Don't get me wrong, but in that particular moment, you cannot be bigger than the team.
You're right. 100%, especially at the national level. Like, it's one thing if it's a Stanley Cup playoff game and you got, like, I don't know.
Trying to play over Nick Cousins or
whoever's coming into the lineup. 13th guy. But when it's like Kyle Connor who could potentially play, it's a different thing. So if we're going to praise the Americans at all, Jacob Slavin is unbelievable.
Yeah, probably the MVP for the Americans.
How many perfectly timed defensive plays that he made last night. The spin around on Sid, the shot block on Seth Jarvis in the slot. He was out of control good last night.
I'll tell you what, too, that favor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Play.
Oh, yeah.
What a player,
what
too.
What a player.
Yeah.
That guy, when he's out there,
yeah,
he can slow, even at that pace, he can turn around, look at two or three options, and have the poise to make the best one. Like they're that pair, like very, very impressive. But Slavin, like, how about him at 6.3 for the next 4 years?
Till 2030.
5 years. They're stealing him.
I mean,
in Carolina.
If you gave him another $1.2 million, you could get Morgan Riley.
That guy's a $10 million defenseman.
No question.
Sure he is. Absolutely he is. In terms of impact, the problem, and this is where we're talking about how, or I said, like, analytics can help us find these guys. There's no stats his agent can take to the team and be like, look
at the shot suppression.
Yeah. And they're like, that's not a stat.
The slot pass denials. Yeah. Look at this.
Right. That doesn't get you $10 million, but it should.
It should.
It's coming, though. Those stats are coming. There'll be a nerd somewhere to count them.
He's
ruined. Slavin's going to watch people play just like him and make $40 million a year.
Yeah. When did he sign that contract, boys? Was it an 8-year?
Not long ago.
Was it an 8-year one? Or 6-year? I can't remember. Anyways.
I think it's 4-year, 5-year.
No, he was really, really impressive. So that's my, and that's the end of my praise for them, I guess. But what are you going to?
No, just anywhere else you want to go, or Sammy mentioned.
You said big picture.
Big picture. Yeah. I don't know. You mentioned Gary Bettman and how excited he must be. The only thing probably, are we going to nitpick a little bit?
That's up to you, pal.
I don't know. I mean, the game should have been played on Wednesday, not Thursday, but. It's tough. The guys are turning around. They're traveling today. They got to play some of them by 1 p.m. It's just to go over the...
I don't think that's a nitpick. I think that's totally fair.
If we're talking about, like, how do we move this forward without having guys really put their respective clubs or the rest of the season in jeopardy? Like,
yeah.
That's... We kind of had this conversation the other day, but, like, is there a possibility of better protecting these guys moving forward? So we have the intensity, we have the passion, but we're not crazy here. We're not putting these guys in a position to get hurt or moving forward, find themselves not focused or attentive to playing a game.
Yeah, but what's hard is hockey, like all this stuff, is an entertainment product, right? You're trying to get people interested. You want them to watch. You want to sell tickets and get ratings. That's the best thing we can possibly offer. And you don't want to take that away. And so if it comes at the cost of other things, most hockey fans in the world, not you, me, Sam, guys who watch every little detail, maybe most hockey fans would say, I don't care what you have to change to keep that. That's the thing I want to keep. That's the crown jewel.
But the people that sometimes make the decision have never really truly know or experienced how hard it is, or the demand, or the pressure, or the this, or the that.
Oh, just to go home on the pressure, McDavid scores that OT winner last night. He didn't play very well.
No.
How about the relief that he gets to breathe? Because otherwise, his reputation takes a hit nationally about big game guy, didn't score in game 7 in the cup, didn't score, all of a sudden he gets that relief because the pressure's so strong. Yeah. So you're right. It's heavy on these guys.
And it bothers me that you move a game that should have been on a Wednesday to a Thursday because ESPN won't move a basketball game.
Yeah, is that it?
It's like, sorry, but the game's Wednesday.
Dominated a basketball game last night. It was
Lakers Hornets. I mean, it's tough to deny.
Really? Yeah.
I'm joking.
No, whatever it was.
LeBron had an unbelievable dunk in that game.
I guarantee you, it was not a signature game.
It was not.
No.
It was not. It was absolutely not.
And that's. How do you do it? Again, Connor McDavid's going to play another 10 years, and he's going to have to, every other year, do that.
That's a lot. No, like, I'm all for this, but I don't think with this one, when you're going to the Olympics, I think you kind of know the pressure and what it's going to entail. But I think all these guys knew they were going to play hard, but I don't think they, I'm tired from this.
I am emotionally tired from this.
You're tired, imagine what Connor McDavid feels like right now. He's flying on a plane. He's like, I'm going to Philly.
Well,
like,
and I got to ask, what do you think their blood alcohol levels got to last night? A number.
North.
And, it'll still be lower than what theirs are during an All-Star weekend.
Touche. Great point.
Right about that.
Good
point. Still, those guys, of course, had to celebrate that. They're never together in a moment like that.
Yeah. What time do they get to sleep? 4?
Yeah, probably.
5 p.m.? 5 a.m.?
Yep.
And yeah, puck drop for some of those guys would have been 30 hours later.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, next year, are they not doing an NHL All-Star weekend?
I don't think so. I think it's the same with the Olympics, right?
Oh, it's the Olympics next year, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So when do they have?
Oh, they're doing both? Yeah, I think they are.
They are doing
both. They
are,
you're right.
Because if you don't, you can't have it the fall. In 2 years, you're doing another one of these World Cups.
Yeah.
So, like, you're doing an All-Star weekend, and then you're going to put them on a plane from New York.
Surely the guys in the Olympics aren't in the All-Star game too, are they?
But they're the same guys.
It's Long Island. Yeah, it's in Long Island.
They're all the same guys.
2026.
So imagine now an All-Star weekend and then jumping on a plane to go play in Italy for the Olympic gold.
Does anyone know what these guys got paid for winning?
They're going to, the championship team will probably, I don't know, 100 grand, I don't know, 50 grand, 100 grand.
Yeah, like $1 million for the team.
Maybe, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, something, but still not enough for...
Changes any of their lives.
Still not enough in my eyes.
No.
Derek, what number did you buzz in my ear there again? Yeah. Apparently it was 9.3 million people watch it in the States on ESPN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 16 million people in North America or something.
It's a good number.
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
You know, and listen, I mean, we could sit here and pound our chest here on Canada's side, but still in good shape, that Olympic program and the USA hockey and where things are heading and the growth of hockey down in the States. It's the needle's moving.
Oh, yeah. We're always going to be in hot competition with them for the rest of time now. Like, just because they're going up doesn't mean we're going down. It just means we're going to be in dogfights every competition.
Yeah. And much like your Bet365 line.
-110, -110. Yeah, get used to it, brother.
It's going to be split right down the middle. Pick them.
I will say that it's just, you know, it's nice that we have a little head start on them in the finals, you know?
Yeah.
4-1 in the big final, or 5-1 or 4-1 in the big finals. Like, it's nice that we have those head starts.
Did you guys see the image I tweeted out before the game of Clark Gillies?
I did.
Laying on the American goaltender after scoring a goal. Like, literally just like leaning right on top of the guy. Just, you know, like squashed as Canada scores a goal. Really a great image.
I think that those jerseys, they should, for the Olympics in 2026, they should do something like that. Like a throwback to that.
All white with the red.
With the red. Or like maybe do a newer version of it somehow. I don't know what you'd do.
Check out my feed. It's on there somewhere. At JT Bourne.
The reaction to Charlie McAvoy reading the starting lineup and not being able to play.
Yeah.
So it's easy to understand why the guy would take a needle to try to play.
Oh God, what did he talk about? Passion.
Yeah, guy cares.
Guy cares. And how about the chance for Johnny Hockey in Boston? That was really special. You know, and full credit to the crowd there too. One of the best crowds in memory, where Canada scores to open up the game and you're waiting for everyone to fall quiet. USA chance right away. Like, they didn't go away, that crowd. They were there the whole game. Yeah. That was a great atmosphere.
Do you guys want to sneak in? I did do the Canada line today.
Yeah, sneak a couple in.
We'll do some in the national hour as well. But
sneak one in right now.
All right. Let's go, Derek. Let's go to Bernie from Sudbury.
Maybe not. I was thinking about your roller coaster ride last night. Each time Canada and the U.S. scored in regulation, when Canada scored in OT, I thought of your explosion of your relief. I hope you slept well. And yes, Marner did come through with a really too big assist. And to you, Kipper, I hope you put down a bundle on your 3-2 prediction. Excellent show, boys. Thank you. Have a good day.
I wouldn't say I got as much sleep as I would like.
So where did you watch?
I went downtown to an establishment.
How was it? Like,
it was an electric crowd. Everyone was fired up. And, you know, I was with some of my best buds in the world. And
Were you able to enjoy the game? Not joking when I say that?
Like, no. Not zero enjoyment the entire time until that puck entered the net.
But it had a real... Olympic.
There's a real buzz. There's a real buzz, and it wasn't just me that had the real buzz. It was really good, and just having that moment around a bunch of Canadians, and like, listen, Canada's taking a beating here for a little while. It hasn't been like roses for a while, and we all know the political climate, everything around it. But just to have that unifying moment with all your friends and, like, you know, that goal goes in, I just hug, I grab my buddy Dave, one of my best buddies. I'm just like, I love you, man. Like, we just hugged. We hugged. I couldn't stop hugging everybody. It's just,
and
there's nothing like it.
On Yonge Street or like?
There's a few people out in the streets, a couple things. Yeah. It wasn't like it was 2010 or anything,
that's
but
okay.
I saw a few people, a couple high fives here and there, and I did make a business decision. I was like, these guys are going on to a further establishment. I'm like, I'm going to go home. And then I got home, and I turn on the TV, and Kenny Reed and Ivanka and Luke Gass, I'm like, well, guess I'm going to crack another beer here, and just sat down and watched another hour of just the coverage of everybody talking. It's just, you're watching everything on your there's just nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. It's truly nothing like it.
Did I see a picture on Twitter of you with a dart in your mouth?
No, it was not Twitter. I sent it to you guys personally.
Oh.
But yeah.
I'd say Sam literally doesn't smoke.
I don't want
smoke.
You smoking. I don't want
he
you smoking.
I don't smoke.
All right. I don't even want you to pretend you're smoking.
Listen, my parents.
It's not good for you.
I know. My parents are listening to the show, so sorry, parents, but I do like to have a celebratory dart here.
No.
And purely celebratory.
Me and one
of my best buddies, Phil, we went out and we hacked one. We watched the highlights. We talked about how great Canada is. You know what the main conversation we had was? Is that we're both diehard Leaf fans. We're both diehard Jays fans. You know, the Raptors gave us some, you know. All my teams generally don't come through for me. You know, I had the Raptors.
That's the sporting experience.
The Jays, when I was a kid, came through. But, like, that was nothing.
Yeah.
But for me at that point, like, I was a little twerp at that point. But having Canada always comes through.
So
we always come through at the highest level.
Will this make up for Vladdy and Mitch Marner leaving?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It depends if Vlad plays the Yankees because he's liking
depends
photos
on the extra
that.
Money spent, I think.
Let's go to, this is a great call to set up our next guest. Let's go to Don in Kitchener.
I just got a problem with this Doug McLean guy, you know. Listen, if he wants to go swimming, pickleball, socialize, whatever, he can do that Saturday, Thursday. He is supposed to be on your show every Friday, and we expect him to be there. If this is a problem with him, I know a guy. Take care, guys. Great show.
Donnie nailed it.
Author and scholar Doug McLean.
We have offers of enforcement from, that's great. We could use it trying to get a...
We will let him know
in
a few minutes when we come back at the top of the hour. Doug McLean will join us and give his thoughts on Don's comments first before even Team Canada.
I know we got to go here quickly, but the guys that play on this team that are a lock for Sochi. That's a Labatt blue
the
brain
deep
there.
Recesses.
For Milan. So if I read these names off to you, and then you can answer yes or no.
How about I give you the notes?
Okay, well, is Bennett a lock?
He's not a lock, but he
Bennett.
Certainly raised his
lock.
Stock.
A lock.
McKinnon, McDavid, Marner, lock.
Locks.
Harley, McCarr, Reinhardt.
Like, Reinhardt's not a lock.
Reinhardt's not a lock for me.
Doughty?
Not a lock, but
no.
Likely.
Hagel, Cirelli, Jarvis?
Not locks.
Cirelli, Jarvis.
Not locks.
But Hagel, lock.
Sid, Marchand.
Sid's not a lock.
Oh, my.
No, you don't know. In 2 years, he's almost 40.
It's next year.
Okay, 39. Yeah, you're right. Next year.
Lock.
Yeah.
Sorry. Marchand, Parayko.
It'd be hard. He'd have to really go down.
Marchand, Parayko.
Marchand.
Not locks.
Not on.
Not locks. Sanheim, Taves, lock, point, lock. And then I don't know about Stone.
That calendar year screws me up.
I know.
World Cup's 2 years, Olympics next year. I can't keep track.
You don't have to. Sam will.
Okay. It's Off the Rails Friday. Doug McLean at the top of the hour. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, Kevin Zegers, Canadian actor, will join us to tee up an LA Strong charity event. We'll talk to as well. Don't go away on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.